Hi, this is Ed Nichols, Superintendent of Madison City Schools, and you are sitting with the soup. It's the Madison City School Podcast, where we go deep into our school district and let you see and hear, not really see, by the way, but to hear what things are happening in our school district. One of the most exciting things that we've had happen in the last while is the expansion of our STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, in our K-5 elementary schools. And this came from a grant that we received from the Department of Defense. We're very grateful for that. And today I have four of our STEM teachers. I have Julie Vandiver, Kawana Gardner, Megan Gowan, and Chrissy Steger, who are with us. And they're going to tell you a little bit about what we are doing to enhance STEM education in our elementary schools. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
I'm going to start with Julie and just say, tell us just a little bit about yourself, Julie, and so the folks will get to know you.
All right. My name is Julie Vandiver. I'm at Columbia Elementary, and this is my fifth year in Madison City and my fifth year with the STEM program.
Hello. My name is Kawana Gardner, and this is my fifth year with Madison City Schools and my second year as a STEM teacher. I am the pre-K STEM teacher for the district.
Hello, I'm Megan Gowan. I am the STEM teacher at Horizon Elementary. This is my first year as a STEM teacher. I have worked in the district off and on since 2006.
Hi, my name is Chrissy Steger. I am a Bob Jones alum. I am teaching at Madison Elementary as a STEM teacher, and this is my ninth year in Madison City.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about what happens day to day and through this school year for our students in pre-K 5. As Kawana told us, we don't take care of just kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a pre-K center. One of the focuses for students is that they will learn to use science and engineering principles to solve problems. So, Julie, talk about how you engage your students in those principles when they come to STEM class.
So the way that we get the students hooked is we start with a real world problem, one that's out there that some other people have worked on, and we go through the whole engineering design process. We start by asking a question like, what is the problem? How do we solve it? What are we working on? Then we'll explore some options, learn a little bit more, research the content. They'll design a model. Sometimes it means building a model or like laying out their idea as a model. And that will work to evaluating that model, testing it. They'll try it out, see what changes we need to make, and then they'll go back to working on their model to revamp it, make it a little bit better, and then just continue to work through the whole process until we come up with a solution. And then once we do come up with a solution, we always go back and ask, how can we even make that one better? Because we are living in a world where we're continuing to work on those problems and solve them to make them even better.
So I know all of you, along with our other STEM teachers, work together in collaboration. So Kawana, I know that you, as Julie described, work through that process, and you get to work with pre-K kids.
Absolutely.
In this process, okay? So give me an example of how you've taken a real project, a real life issue, and handed that to pre-K students.
Okay, so for the first 9 weeks, we designed their own hat. And so the problem there was, when we go outside on the playground, there's not enough shade. And so, I mean, we want to be outside to play. So what can we do? And so the students designed their own hats. And so after they designed their hats, and so we go through the engineering design process. And for pre-K, it starts with thinking, creating, and sharing. And so that's their terminology that they understand. And so they went through the process, they drew out what they wanted to have as their hat. They actually designed their hat, and we went outside to test the hat. And they had another opportunity to come back in to say whether or not their hat worked, if it provided shade for them or not. And so they go back through that process again of recreating what they've done to see if it works. And so that's just a small example of what we do to walk them through the engineering and design process at their level, at the pre-K level.
I bet that's an interesting day with 18 pre-K students.
All day long it is.
All day long.
Never a dull moment.
Megan, talk to me a little bit about the schedule we run. So how often do our kids get to go in to STEM? Talk about a little bit of that.
So we have the K through 5 students for 30 minutes once a week, and they come in, and as Julie had mentioned, we start off thinking about these real-world problems. We get them warmed up when they come in, with problem solving, asking them to share ideas, really building that safe space for them to share their ideas. And then we will dive into what we're doing. A lot of times we'll give them a little background knowledge, and then we ask them to share ideas and to solve problems that go along with that topic. And they are then able to try to create something to solve that problem. And when they realize that they don't have what they need to do that sometimes, then we say, okay, well, what can we do to fix that and to advance that and to enhance that?
Okay. I think I dropped in your class one day.
You did.
And you all were working on some different projects. And I'm trying to remember what all you were doing that day. So that's been a few weeks, and I'll pass on that. But Chrissy, let me ask you this question. How long have you been in the Madison District?
So I've been teaching in Madison City for 9 years.
Okay. What did you teach before you did STEM?
I taught first grade for a while and second grade.
And then this year you've moved into teaching STEM?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So from that viewpoint, as a first grade teacher and a second grade teacher, tell me what our kids are getting with STEM this year that they wouldn't have gotten the years you taught first and second grade.
I think we're giving them an opportunity to explore STEM and STEM careers on a deeper level than we have been able to in the past. Just because in the general classroom, as much as we try to get everything in, sometimes we don't always have a lot of time to devote to things like STEM. And so giving them an extra 30 minutes a week gives them an extra opportunity to dive into those standards, to dive into the DLCS standards, and kind of tie it all up in a bow. And then also to be able to connect that with what they're doing in the classroom, because I think what we're seeing a lot now is that the things that we're talking about in STEM class, they're able to go back to their teachers and say, we've heard about that in STEM, or we've been reading about this in our reading and it connects to STEM. And so it's a really great connection to see all of those things kind of lining up together.
Now Julie, Chrissy, you know, she mentioned some acronym. You know, we're the world's greatest acronyms in education. And she was talking about standards and an acronym. Tell us about those standards. What does that stand for so folks out there will know?
So when we pick our STEM challenges, we do tie it back to their science standards, also their digital literacy standards, and also just science, math, technology, all of those standards in one. So they're Alabama Course of Study standards.
Well, let me ask a question. Russell and Rachel are here today, and you know they always take care of this podcast for me, and they convinced me to do this. So I'm going to throw them into the podcast today and talk about digital literacy standards. So, Russell, how do you coordinate with our STEM teachers to address those standards?
At the beginning of every year, teachers are always auditing their classes and reflecting on their teaching practices. And when the digital literacy and computer science standards came out in 2018, the state expected us to start creating digitally literate students to prepare them for college and career.
And what does digitally literate mean?
Well, there's a lot of things. So there's big domains in the DLCS talking about digital citizenship, you know, ethical copyright usage, talking about students as computational thinkers, global. What does it mean to be a global citizen? Right, you're no longer bound to Madison, Alabama. Students now have access to any country in the world almost, where they could zoom in with a student from France, for example. So we want our students to be prepared and have the problem-solving skill set, and really computational thinking is that kind of the heart behind the digital literacy, to be able to know not only how computers worked, but how to continue to learn in a digital age.
Rachel, add to it.
Yeah, so especially in elementary, the wording for the state proclamation specifically for K through 5 is that our students will be exposed to computer science and computational thinking concepts. So computational thinking being one of those big concepts that we want to make sure our students are exposed to, which really is a really fancy way of saying problem solving, understanding how we take in information, how we process it, and then create an output or a solution. And so we know teachers already have so much that they cover. They have.
Well, I was getting ready to say, I mean, wait a second here now. So you're telling me that on top of the Literacy Act and on top of the Numeracy Act, we now pile on K-5 teachers to and social studies and science. We add this requirement of digital literacy.
Right. So where this has been so huge with the expansion of our STEM program is not only do our STEM teachers cover those science and math standards, but computational thinking is built very heavily into everything that they do in their curriculum. So that's kind of, not that we don't want to also see that happening in the regular classroom all the time too, but it's taking a little bit of that pressure and expectation off those classroom teachers' plates because they're getting exposed to those computational thinking standards in STEM class.
All right. So if there was one thing, Megan, that you would want parents to know about this new pathway for the students this year in STEM, what would it be?
It is really opening up a lot for students that they haven't had the opportunity before, those hands-on opportunities and just expanding on what they, the basic knowledge they can usually get in a regular classroom.
Okay. Chrissy?
I think it's just giving all of our learners an opportunity to explore the world of STEM and digital literacy, and giving kids an opportunity to experience things that they may not have known they would have enjoyed.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a different question, Quanta. You know, as teachers, there are always those aha moments. Can you think of an aha moment this year when you were doing an activity and you were like, that bulb came on, that student, the light went on?
I would say that happens every day in every class at pre-K level. it really does. And a lot of times it's not necessarily an aha moment for the students as much as it is for myself, because going into the pre-K classroom, you think that they can't do certain things because they're 4 and 5 years old, and they come out blowing your mind and making you go back and research and come back and have more information to share with them. So the aha moment hits on the student side as well as my side.
So as a STEM teacher, each of you have had those moments.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Julie, what's the one thing you would share?
I would say that for the parents, I would want them to know that we are preparing their child for the workforce, even though we're at an elementary level, because our students that we have are going to have jobs that possibly don't exist yet. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving them the tools in their toolbox to be effective in those positions, even though we don't know what they're going to be yet. So they have the tools and the content knowledge as well.
You know, I know that several years ago, as a district, we made a financial commitment to providing one-to-one for our students. And we also expanded and created these positions that Russell Johnson and Rachel Gibbs are in to help coordinate that transformation. And out of that, our team, led by Russell and Rachel, came up with the transformative teaching model, where we are taking groups of teachers in cohorts each year and helping them to expand their ability to engage students using technology. And I know Chrissy, Julie, and Megan are in that cohort this year. And we may come back later and talk about that on a different scale, but I want our folks to know out there that not only are we providing in-class opportunity that we've never provided before for our students to have this exploration and understanding scientific principles and engaging in research and just thinking through problems, but we also are at the same time working as a district to give our teachers the tools to be stronger in the classroom and to utilize the things that we've invested in. You know, when we had this discussion, it seems like a long time ago now, but just several years ago, I challenged our folks that if we make this investment 5 years from now, teaching should look differently in the school district, that we should, you know, explore and challenge our students. And so, first of all, I want to say thank you for those of you and those you represent. We have other STEM teachers. You just got called into the principal's office today. I'm so glad that our folks know that we're starting at the very earliest child to develop that exploration, that scientific knowledge of how to question, how to study, how to put things in place. I was in a meeting yesterday for space jobs around the community, and they couldn't have talked more about kids who come out and know how to problem solve. In fact, they said, we need future workers who A, know to show up, and B, can work in a team, and C, problem solve. Take a problem and start to break it apart. And I didn't know this till yesterday, that there's actually a job called a non-destructive technician. Did you know what that is? That's the person that tries to break things. When they build something, this person's job is to figure out a way how to break something, or that it might break, that they x-ray it and look for fault lines and those types. So they're problem solving on the backside to see if this they've put together will work. And so, you know, I'm just so excited for what you all are doing and laying the foundation of the future. And I appreciate you coming today. I want to thank our Board of Education for allowing us to expand these programs, and also our community. For those that are listening, the state of Alabama does not provide money for this. This is all provided first by a grant, the Department of Defense, that we apply for. And I certainly appreciate our curriculum department, Dr. Dooley, Dr. Donaldson, Lee Shaw, and all others that wrote to get that. And now we will phase this in to the fabric of our district and pick up that cost. So, you know, it's certainly exciting to see that happening. So thank you for being with us today. Again, thank you. I called on Russell and Rachel. See, they usually are the quiet in the room, but, you know, we need to get them involved. The only person in the room now is John Peck that we have not called upon to say something. Say hi, John.
Hello.
There you go. Certainly I'm thankful for Russell and Rachel and John as they communicate out to our community. I'm thankful to you all for the work you do and those that you represent, our other STEM teachers. And I hope that you've gotten an exciting insight into our STEM programs. We'll come back and give you more information about transformative teaching and other exciting things that are happening in your school district. Well, you've been sitting with the soup. Have a great day.